Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house, and it's the place He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. There are quite a few Peanuts cartoons relating to the Christmas season, and in many of them, Lucy and Charlie Brown are featured. And in the one that I thought was relevant to today's message, Lucy approaches Charlie Brown and says, "Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. It's the season for peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's the time that I think we forget all of our differences and love one another." Well, Charlie Brown's face just beamed when he heard these words coming from Lucy Van Pelt. He said, "Lucy, I am so glad you made such an offer, but tell me, do we have to love each other only at this time of the year? Can't we love each other all year long?" And as you can envision the scowl on Lucy's face that she always gives Charlie Brown at the end of their discussion, she replies, "What are you, a fanatic or something? If we are serious about proclaiming the true meaning of Christmas through our words and actions, then most people will label us a fanatic or a Jesus freak, because we will have that spirit all year long. We will love one another all year long. Yet all of our Christian holidays ought to produce such a feeling, but certainly we should have that feeling this time of the year." Listen as I read our text for today. It's, of course, a familiar scripture from the Gospel of Dr. Luke. It's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible or in a Bible from our pew rack as I read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.'" May God add His blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. How wonderful our individual lives would be, how wonderful our home life would be, how wonderful our world would be if we really did practice the biblical teaching of peace on earth, goodwill toward men, all year long. As Christmas approaches, we think once again, maybe we can really have our hearts filled with love. Maybe we can really be kind to one another, not just at this time of the year, but every day of the year. As I stated last Sunday, most of us have begun our Christmas shopping. We spent much time and thought in choosing just the right gifts for the special people in our life. We considered their needs, their wants, and what would make them happy. Then we go to shop and buy the gifts, and we wrap them and anxiously await the moment when they are opened. And when the recipient opens the gift, we eagerly anticipate an expression of joy and delight. And if there is no expression of joy and delight, we are disappointed. Because as you see, in accepting our gift, the recipients are accepting us. And in rejecting our gift, they are rejecting us, or so we think. That's the mindset that we have regarding the giving and receiving of gifts. And even while we are watching the faces of others to see their reactions to our gifts, others will be watching our faces when we receive their gifts, because Christmas time truly is a time of giving and receiving. And you may recall that we reviewed in the message last week the gifts which God desires for us to give Him. There were three in number. One was to act justly, two was to love mercy or be kind, and three was to walk humbly with Him, with God. And today I want us to consider the gift God gave us on that first Christmas. Well, what is God's gift to us? Most people would say it was the gift of His one and only Son. And that is true, of course. But I want us to be a bit more specific. Actually, in the gift of His Son, Jesus, God gave us three very valuable gifts on that first Christmas. And He offers those same gifts down through the ages, even until this very moment. First, through the gift of Jesus, God gives us the opportunity for forgiveness of our sins. We shall never have peace with our fellow man unless we are at peace with ourselves. We shall never have peace with ourselves until we are at peace with God. And we shall never have peace with God until our sins have been forgiven. God has given us the recipe to live a peaceful life. A recipe which makes our life happy and fruitful. And to possess such peace, the recipe for doing so requires that we ask for forgiveness of our sins and that we follow the teachings of God. Those ingredients make peace possible in our life. And if we omit one of God's ingredients, or if we add an ingredient from the world, then our life can blow up in our face. This week on television, there was a news story of a professional football player who killed his girlfriend, a wife, I can't remember, and then went to the stadium and in front of the coach and assistant coach killed himself. There's so much depression. There's so much suicide and rejection in the world because too many are following the wrong recipe for peace in their life. They are looking to the world to provide the ingredients to make peace in their life and not to God. God's gift to us that first Christmas was not just the gift of a baby boy. It was the gift of forgiveness of our sins, which leads to salvation, which leads to eternal life in heaven with God the Father and the Son. And that gift is still available for us today if we have not already accepted it. Second, through the gift of Jesus, God offers us help in our present situation. The shepherds sat on the hillsides watching their flock. They were poor. They lived a hard and parched life. There was little prospect for improvement in their status. And many people are living the same type of life today. It may not be so evident because they may have what we consider an abundance of material things, but they may be missing that comfort and peace, and they may have heartaches and harshness of which we are not aware. But then one wondrous night, as these shepherds were going through the mundane task of sitting on the hillside watching their sheep, angel appeared to the shepherds and made a glorious announcement. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Suddenly, the whole night, the whole time, the whole life of the shepherds as they knew it changed. God had become real to them. God had come to help them, to be their Savior, to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And likewise today, God is with us to bring peace on earth in our lives, to offer us salvation from our sins and to bring peace and goodwill. You know, at the other end of the spectrum are the wise men. And Amanda so correctly pointed out that it was at least, we believe, 2 years and maybe more before the wise men came to visit Jesus and bring him his gifts. They were at the other end of the spectrum from the shepherds. The wise men were men of authority. They were well respected. They were wealthy. They had some power in the land from which they came. And they were called the Magi. We don't know if it truly was three. The assumption is there were three because of the three gifts that God's Word tells us were brought. But these men, like the shepherd, had a void in their life. And they followed the star because they desired to fill that void. So whether rich or poor, powerful or weak, whoever we are, we need God's help. And God promises that if we allow Jesus to enter our hearts and in our lives, we shall receive his help. When the Holy Spirit helps us, we develop a more sympathetic attitude towards others. Scenes of sorrow and joy move most of us emotionally. And this is true whether the scenes are real, whether they're in a movie, whether they're in a book. And it gives us a feeling of needing to help someone. And so at Christmas, when we get a lot of these scenes of joy, we feel a need to help. We reach down in our pocket and financially support organizations that help people, or we deliver food and gifts to people, or we deliver clothes to families that are needed. And we should be moved when we realize that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came to this earth to cry with us, to suffer with us, and to help us overcome the hurts and hurdles of life. When you realize that Jesus came to earth as a baby born of a virgin, then peace on earth, goodwill toward men will be a easier scene to envision, and the goal will be easier to attain. Third, through the gift of Jesus, God gives us hope for the future. One final aspect of this gift of this baby that God gave us is that at Christmas, there's hope for the future. You know what kept the shepherds going? It was hope. They kept hoping for a better day, hoping for a better week, a better month, hoping for a better life. God had made a promise to the Jewish people. He would one day send a Messiah, the anointed one. And God promised when this Messiah came that everything would be all right. Therefore, hope burned in the hearts and lives of the people of Israel. You know what kept the wise men pursuing the Bethlehem star? It was hope. Every night they searched the heavens looking for the star of promise, and when they saw it, they were determined to follow it wherever it led them, because it was a sign from God. It was promised the birth of a king. God gave them hope at this time in their lives. Well, the question becomes, is peace on earth, goodwill toward men, an impossible dream? Maybe it is. Maybe there will always be wars and rumors of wars. Maybe some people will always be hungry and without proper clothing. Maybe we shall always have to deal with crime and terror and violence. But there is one fact that should keep us going, and that is that one day heaven will open and Jesus will appear back here on earth. The dream of peace and goodwill for eternity will be fulfilled. Jesus came to earth and offered us salvation and an opportunity for peace and goodwill. He said to us, "You do not have to die for your sins. I shall die for you. You can enter heaven. I have gone to make a place there for you." Christmas made the difference for mankind. God wrapped up a gift and gave it. And now he stands back and waits to see how we shall respond to his gift. Shall we receive it with joy, or shall we treat it with indifference and rejection? God wants to see our reaction, because what we do with that gift is also what we do with him. If we accept the gifts, then we receive him, his freedom, his forgiveness, his help, and his hope. But if we reject the gift, then we also reject him. And the consequences of rejecting Jesus is not something people want to think about, particularly this time of the year. But they are real. They will occur. God's word tells us that. God offers his gift again this morning, and he waits to see what you will do. And my prayer is that if you have not accepted this gift, you will accept it. That you will come forward and confess your sins and say that you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we'll pray with you and praise God for your decision and talk to you about becoming a member of this body of believers if that's your desire. But we do invite you to come this morning as we sing a hymn of invitation, hymn number 86.